take your Bibles this morning, turn to 1 Timothy, the book of 1 Timothy. Thank you, Brother Todd. I appreciate that. 1 Timothy. Well, ain't nothing better than hearing your children brag on the Lord. Amen. I could have just as easily had to go bail him out of jail last night. Amen. Thank God he's sitting in the house of the Lord this morning singing for God and testifying about his goodness. Amen. That ought to thrill a parent's heart. It does mine. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. If you're there, say amen. Had a little lady at the church in Texas last night, or Friday night, standing at the door shaking hands. And Friday night, I forgot what I preached. Let's see. I preached that message, Let's Build a Fire. And boy, I'm telling you, it was wide open from the get-go. And we just had a great time. A young man got saved. This little lady stopped by the door. She said, I got to ask you a question. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, it can't really be like that all the time, can it? I said, well, yeah. I mean, not maybe exactly like this, but variations of it, yeah. Anytime we get to come in the house of God and worship, it's good. Sometimes may be a little more sober than others, and sometimes it may be a shout way up on the mountaintop that only the Lord can take us to, but it's always good to be in the house of God. Amen. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You're in a good place this morning. You may not be in the best church in the world, and I know you're not listening to the best preacher in the world, but it is good to be in God's house this morning. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, we're going to read a couple of verses of Scripture. In 1 and 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul is writing a letter to instruct and encourage a young preacher, Timothy. And through this book he does. And he gives him some sound advice and some sound instruction. But I noticed as we read 1 Timothy in the opening verses, before Paul begins to instruct the young preacher, he gives him some comforting words. I don't know about you, but if there's anything in this world we need in this day and in this hour, we need some comforting words. You know what the Lord said? The Lord said, if I go, I will send another comforter. Yeah. Amen. Amen. You know what it means, or you know what it feels to find comfort?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Comfort is ease or rest. I've been going hard and going hard for all week long, and my wife pulled up at the front of the baggage claim at the airport yesterday, and I got down and sat down in the seat of the truck and leaned over and got me some sugar. You know what that was? Hey, it's legal. I got it several times. Amen. You know what that was? That was comforting. Something had been missing. A very important part of my life was out of place for a few days. And then when it got brought back together again, I found comfort in that. We've all been where the Bice family have been this last week, and where we've lost a loved one. And there's just something about family and just embracing one another. We find comfort in that. We find comfort in the words, I love you. Amen. I had a man sit in my office one day, and a man and his wife, and they were about to divorce and split up. And I said, well, what's the problem? And her first issue was, he never tells me he loves me. I looked over at him. He said, well, my daddy never told me he loved me. I said, look, man, just because your daddy was stupid don't mean you have to be. Amen. God gave you that wife. You better love her, and you better let her know you love her. Why? Because she finds comfort in knowing that. And there's some comforting words that we can say, I appreciate you. That's comforting. We can say, thank you. That's comforting. Just several things we can say to one another in our fellowship, and just things in passing. How many times have you been ready to quit the ministry? Whatever it be, Sunday school, bus route, whether it be preaching, whatever it is, you're just about ready to give it up. And some little kid that you've taught in class, or some little kid that you picked up on the bus gets saved, and they come bouncing up to you and say, I got saved this morning. Thank you for bringing me to church. Or thank you for that Sunday school lesson. You know what that does? That gives you comfort enough in what you're doing to go on and do it again. Amen. So I think with this young preacher, Paul realized that he needed some comfort. And thank God for this comfort. Look at verse number 1. I'm just going to read two verses this morning. The Bible said, Paul, in verse number 1, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I want you to notice a couple of things in these verses, and we'll go to the house. But I want you to notice in verse number 1, those last four or five words, which I ain't got time to count. Christ, what'd he say? Which is our what? Our hope. The first comforting words that Paul gives to Timothy is words of hope. You know, I was thinking about this as I was coming home on the airplane, and there was a couple of gentlemen sitting behind me yesterday, and they were talking about Obama this and Obama that and health care this and health care that. And if something don't happen, our world's going to collapse and our economic system is in a shambles and blah, 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 blah. And it just sounded like a couple of doomsday doomsday sayers behind me. And they had nothing to say, positive to say. Everything was negative and everything was bad. And boy, they talked about they're going to take our rights and they're going to take our freedom and they're going to take this and they're going to take that. And I sat there and I thought to myself, they may do it. They may take our freedom of speech. You know, that's a possibility. Is it not? We may lose our health. They may take your job that you've had years and years and years and years and years. Some of you have got hope in Social Security. Buddy, that's a false hope if there ever was one. And as those two gentlemen sat behind me and talked about how we can lose this and this and this and how they're going to take this and this and this and this, I thought about one thing they can never take away from me, Brother Charles. They can never take away my hope. They can take away my rights. They can take away my freedom to worship and praise God. They can take away a child's right to pray in a public school. They can take away our right to carry a Bible up and down the street or preach the gospel openly out on the side. But they can never take away my hope. Amen. Amen. Yes, I think Paul realized that Timothy would get discouraged. I don't care who you are, how spiritual you think you are, sometimes life is discouraging. And most times it's because we've got our hope in the wrong place. Some people lose all hope because a relationship didn't turn out right. That's because that's where you had all your hope. Amen. Some people put all their hope. I remember Dr. Lester Roloff was one of my heroes. He was a great preacher and evangelist out of Texas. He started the Roloff Homes and all that down there. And I remember reading about him and heard other preachers preach about him. He was a health nut. I mean, sure enough, health nut. Drank carrot juice and all that good stuff. They said he drank so much carrot juice that sometimes his skin would be orange from drinking so much carrot juice. Now, Brother Lester Roloff believed in taking care of himself, but some people worship that. That's where all their hope is. I remember Dr. Jack Hiles saying this one day after Brother Roloff crashed and died in a plane wreck. Brother Hiles said this. He said, Brother Roloff always got on to me for eating double cheese quarter pounders. He said he always told me, Jack, that stuff will kill you. Them quarter pounders are going to kill you. That coffee's going to kill you. He said, well, I'm still eating cheese quarter pounders and drinking coffee, and old Roloff's dead, he said. They were good friends. He could get away with that. Some people put their hope in their health. Yeah, amen. Yeah. I remember when Stacy Bullock was trim and fit like me. Amen. I can remember when some of these guys, I bet Brother Rusty's belly used to be up here in his chest. Amen. I bet he used to have a big old chest like that. Now it's done failed down over his belt. I'm telling you, man, our old bodies are dying. Do you understand that? Every breath we draw, we're one breath closer to the last one. We're all dying. Do not put your hope in your health. One doctor's visit can take all that away. Say amen, Sister Lori. Am I right about it? One doctor's visit. Hey, we found a lump. I mean, that was pretty normal when I was a kid. I mean, there's always a lump on my head somewhere from falling off a horse or wrecking a bicycle or a motorcycle, something. But boy, now when you go to the doctor and the doctor gets that weird look on his face and says, all hope can vanish just that quick. What are you saying, preacher? We need to put our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one thing that will never change, the one thing that will never falter, the one thing, hey, they can never take that hope away. Why? Because he said, I am the Lord and I change not. I am he that was dead yet liveth and I'm alive forevermore. Hey, we can put our hope in Jesus. I like the old song that says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. If my hope is any place else, I will be let down. Amen. The Bible talks about that blessed hope. Amen. That hope of His appearing, His coming back to receive us again. I'm excited about that. I really am. Hey, listen, I'm not saying I want to die today, but it'd be all right. I'm not saying I want the Lord to come back today, which I really do. That'd suit me fine. Amen. I can't wait to see Jay again, Jerry. I can't wait. And I know I will, just as sure as I'm standing. Why? Because I have that blessed hope. Amen. I have that hope. Hey, I don't know what the economy's going to do. Somebody said, preacher, is it going to get better? I hope it does. But we sure don't have no assurance of that, do we? In my opinion, before it gets better, it's going to get worse. Amen. Ain't too many empty houses sitting around this place for this thing to change overnight. Ain't too many people out of work for this thing to change overnight. Ain't nobody got a quick fix plan except the Lord Jesus Christ. If that trumpet would blow, that would fix every last bit of it. Amen. It would for me. And if you're saved, it would fix it for you this morning. Somebody shout right there and say amen. Thank God. He said, Timothy, there is hope, and that hope is Christ Jesus our Lord. He said, son, as you enter into the ministry, don't put your hope in people. Don't put your hope in people. They will let you down. Amen. I remember sitting by the bedside of one of my childhood heroes. I told somebody at the funeral home the other day, my two greatest childhood heroes are now in heaven. I remember sitting by the bedside of Ollie Matthews. Ollie, when I was just a kid at White Oak Springs, took me under his wing and took me fishing and taught me how to hunt and took me coon hunting. And boy, I just looked, he was like a father figure, him and Brother Jay Bow. And Ollie, his body was ridden with cancer. And he had been through the chemotherapy and all of that. And I sat by his bedside and I just wept and I cried. And boy, it just broke my heart. And Ollie said, look here, boy, look here. And you always remember something. He said, don't you ever put your confidence in a man. He said, because a man will let you down. He said, I'm not going to make it through this. I'm leaving. He said, but Jesus will never leave you. He said, you always put your trust in your confidence in the Lord. He said, don't you ever turn away. And I've never forgotten the words that he said to me. Amen. I thought Ollie was one of the strongest men I knew. When I was a little kid, I'd pile up in the truck with him and Sammy Cole and Ed Palmer and all that crowd, and we'd go coon hunting in the middle of the night and traipsing through the woods. And usually Ollie would pick me up and it'd be just me and him, and we'd pull up down there on Mulberry Rock Road and we'd pull in Ed Palmer's yard. And Ed Palmer was a big old guy, if y'all remember Ed. He was a big old dude. And he'd come out the door and he'd have him some sandwiches in a sack and a coffee bottle. And old Ollie would jump out of the truck and squat down like that, and Ed would get about halfway across the yard. And Ollie had hit him just like that. Take him to the ground, put a big, some kind of hole. He acted like a kid. Put a big hold on it. I mean, boy, I didn't never see anybody get Ollie or pin him down, buddy. He was a man, I thought. But I realized I couldn't put my hope in the man. And his advice was absolutely correct. Don't put your hope in me, because I'll let you down. Churches fall apart because preachers leave. Don't put your hope in your pastor this morning. But put your hope where your pastor's hope is this morning. And that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know why? Because he said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the earth. That's where we can put our hope this morning. He said, Timothy, don't let people get you discouraged. Don't let people get you down. Because Christ is our hope. Chapter 2 and verse number 6. I got 5 or 6 points this morning. I think I'm just going to preach this one. Chapter 2 and verse number 6. Watch this. He said, talking about the Lord. He said, who gave himself a ransom for all to be tested in due time. He said, Timothy, in Christ you'll find hope of salvation. In verse number 4 of chapter 2, he said, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. I'm glad there's hope of salvation. I don't know how many times throughout the year I get the privilege of pastoring where I grew up. Yeah. Amen. I get to preach to people that I played with and run around with as a kid. That's a great honor to me. I'm glad I'm not in a state where I don't know anybody. I'm glad I'm pastoring where I grew up. And I don't know how many times I've had my friends come in here and say, man, you just don't know how bad I've been. Or you just don't know what I've done. Or they give me this phrase. If I walk in your church, Brother Eddie, I'm afraid the roof will cave in. It's holding up pretty good. It held up when I walked in here. It held up when Stacy walked in here. Hey, are you listening to me this morning? It held up when Chris Green walked in here. It held up when Daniel Sanchez. Hey, if it'll hold up for this crowd, it'll hold up for anybody. Why? Because there's still hope in the salvation of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. He died for all men. You say, oh, you believe in that whosoever will. Yeah, I believe what the Bible said. I believe what the Bible said in the book of Romans when he said whosoever. Who is that? Who is whosoever? Let's take this thing literally. Why don't we? That's whosoever. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen, they told that Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Ain't no ifs in there. I told you several weeks ago about a preacher who was preaching. And he talked about witnessing to a guy, or a guy came to him, and it was on like a Thursday or Friday night, and the guy had been in a bar, and he was drunk, and he wanted to get saved, and the preacher told him, said, if you'll go home, sober up, clean up, come to church Sunday morning, the Lord might save you. Yeah. Baloney. That's right. Yeah. Amen. Baloney. He said, what gives you the right to say that preacher's wrong? Because I know he is, because I went to the preacher's house on a Friday night. I wasn't half right in my head, been doing things I ought not to do. And God saved me right there. And if he'll do it for me, he'll do it for you. What are you saying? I'm saying there's hope in salvation this morning. I believe he's still saving old sinners. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. I said, I believe he's still saving old sinners. Murderers. That's what Paul was. Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners. Amen. You know what that means? He said, I'm the worst of the worst, and God saved me. Amen. Amen. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. Some of you self-righteous people with your nose stuck in the air, I wish you knew what some of them people's done you sitting in the pew with. I wish you knew. I wish you knew what I know about half of them. Amen. People are tired of going to church where everybody thinks they're better than them. We okay this morning? I smile while I say it. Let me tell you, Miss Self-Righteous, Sister Sue better than you. If there's anybody here named Sue, I ain't talking to you. Let me tell you what the Bible said about you. The Bible said about you. There's none good. No, not one. You're no better than the poorest, dirtiest little bus kid that got off a bus out here this morning. I walked in my mama's Sunday school class, as I often do this morning, and I smelled a little something. I walked out of there, boy, and I Just about got choked up. And I thought, you know, that'd bother a lot of people. Yeah. That'd bother a lot of people. Somebody don't smell just right.
Yeah.
Somebody that their mama didn't get them up this morning.
Amen.
Have them French toast and eggs ready. Their church clothes laid out. No, they left when mama's still in the bed. Don't you dare think you're better than one of them.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. What are you saying? There's hope of salvation. From the lowest to the highest. Every level of education, every background. I'm saying you can be saved this morning. I wouldn't walk out these doors if I didn't know Christ as my Savior. I wouldn't do it. Even if I doubted, even if I thought I'd gotten saved one time, but I just wasn't sure and it wasn't real settled in my heart, I'd get that thing nailed down. I mean nailed down. Whether anybody else believed it or not. You know, first thing I worried about when I got saved, Michael? Ain't nobody going to believe it. And you know what? They didn't. They didn't. I remember one of the first things I did right after I got saved, Keith Ferguson and Timmy Malden come over to my house. And we were standing there talking. I said, boys, you ain't going to believe what happened to me Friday night. And I know they was expecting we got in a fight or this or that or got locked up and put in jail. And one of them, I believe it was old Fergie, said, what happened? I said, man, I got saved. He went, ha, ha, ha. He said, White done got religion. I said, no, man, I didn't get no religion, but I got saved.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. I didn't get no religion, but I did get saved. And, brother, they didn't believe it. They didn't think it'd last 3 or 4 days. 6, 7, 8 months later, they began to become a little bit convinced. 6 or 7 years later, hey, when they needed help, they called and said, hey, would you pray for me?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, there's hope in salvation this morning. You ain't gone too far.
Amen.
How do you know? God's got you here this morning.
Amen.
To hear one more time that Jesus will save you.
Amen.
That's how I know you ain't got too far.
Amen.
I'd get it settled this morning. There's hope of salvation. There's hope of supplication. I'm glad we can pray.
Amen.
I'm glad we can pray.
Amen.
Chapter 2 and verse number 5. He said, for there is one God, one mediator between God and men. That's the man Christ Jesus. You know what a mediator is? It's like an attorney. That's a go-between. I don't want to make nobody mad this morning, but I probably will. Some people believe they got to sit in a closet and look through a knot hole and talk to a knot head on the other side and confess their sins. That ain't Bible, friend.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's one mediator between God and man, and it's not Father so-and-so down at the Catholic Church. It's Jesus Christ, and He sits in heaven. Hey, they may take away my health. They may take away my health care. They may take away my job. They may take away my freedom, but they can't take away my hope of salvation, and they can't take away my hope of prayer.
Yeah. Amen.
I can be on my deathbed, and I can still pray.
Yeah.
Amen. I can lose my voice and I can still pray. It ain't got to be audible.
Amen.
Greatest privilege we have is the most unused privilege in our life. And that's to pray. You know what the Bible said? Men ought always to pray. Amen. You know what else He said? He said, pray without ceasing. When Levi was a little baby, he called Ashley, his big sister, called her Sissy. And he thought that verse said, pray about Sissy. You remember that? He thought it said, pray about Sissy. So he'd pray for Sissy every day. Amen. But it said, pray without ceasing. Hey, that don't mean you're running around all day, 24 hours a day, with your head bowed and your eyes closed. Don't try that driving down the road, please. But we always can be in a spirit of prayer.
Amen.
Thank God. Bro, that's hope right there. That's hope. Oh, they can outlaw prayer in school, but let me tell you something. They can't stop prayer in school.
Amen.
Listen to me, kids. You can be looking at your teacher with your eyes wide open. They think they got your full attention, but you're talking to God.
Amen.
She's telling you that you come from a monkey, but you're talking to the Lord in heaven saying, God, help her. Amen.
Amen.
They can't keep you from praying. Can't nobody keep you from praying.
Amen.
Amen. So we ought to develop the attitude with the devil. I can pray and you can't stop me. Amen. I don't know how many people I heard come through that funeral home last week and say, boy, I love to hear Brother Jay pray. He didn't pray, he preached to God. Amen. That's what he did, brother. Every prayer he prayed was a sermon. Boy, I loved it too. He'd get wound up. I didn't want him to quit. He'd get to hacking. Y'all know what hacking is? He'd say, dear Lord, and he'd just hack and snort, and I'd say, hallelujah, brother. He'd just pray heaven down in this place. Thank God. Hey, you know what? He still hasn't quit praying. He's just doing it face to face. I just got a feeling he's standing before the throne of God this morning saying, Lord, why don't you help old Eddie? He ain't got a lick of sense. God, he needs you. He needs you, Lord. Help him. Bless that service. I got family there that aren't saved. God, please save them this morning. I bet you he's still praying. I'm right about it. Amen. Thank God for the hope of salvation. Thank God for the hope of supplication. We can pray. We can pray. Gene, I wish I had the powers that some of them people claim they have. You know what I'd do? I'd cancel everything I got this week, and I'd come over and I'd put my hands on your daughter, and I'd heal her body. I'd do that. I'd do it, and I wouldn't even charge you nothing. Amen? And if that crowd could do it, they'd do it too. And I can't do that. I ain't got the power to touch somebody and disease leave their body. But I tell you what I do have the power to do. I can get on my knees and I can say, God, Gwen's in a bad shape and she needs you to touch her. I can talk to the one who can. Thank God for the hope of prayer. I can still pray. Amen. You ever got flat, busted, broke? Can't afford to do for your children what you want to do for your children. I mean, boy, it just seems like the whole world's caving in around you. Guess what? You can still pray. Because it's still free. Amen. Don't cost you a dime to bow your head and say, oh God, I need your help. Thank God we have the hope of salvation. We have the hope of supplication. I'm going to quit right there. Brother Todd, y'all come get us a song if you would. You need some hope this morning. You need some hope. You know the only way to appreciate hope is to get to a place where you lost it. Like Levi said when he testified a while ago. He said, I sung that second verse and I feel guilty because I've never been through what some of you are going through. I've never faced the battles that some of you are facing. You know, I feel the same way. I've never had to drive my wife to the hospital for chemotherapy. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. I've never been through some of those things. But I can promise you this. There's hope. There's hope. I remember when that boy sitting right there testified this morning, laid in a coma. We asked that doctor when he might wake up. Doctor said, we don't know. Could be minutes, could be weeks, could be months. And if he wakes up, he could be an invalid and a cripple. And I forgot the exact words he used. He said, God knows, or God only knows, or y'all folks ought to pray. There's hope. Sometimes the doctor can't give you a good report. But there's still hope. There's still hope. Sister Laurie, don't ever give up. Don't ever lose your hope. If you lose your hope, you've lost your will to live. You fight, and we'll fight with you. You pray, and we'll pray with you. Thank God, there's hope. Let's stand our feet this morning. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. Nobody looking around. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Listen, we'll have you out of here in just a minute. But before we do, let me remind you, there is the hope of salvation.
If you're here today, you're not 100% sure that if you died right now, heaven would be your home. I want to pray for you. Now listen, that won't get it done. You're going to have to come to the place where you pray for yourself. But I sure don't want you to die and go to hell. I wonder if there's one here today who said, "Preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Please pray for me. I wouldn't come to you. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing in this world. I just want to pray for you." If you'd slip up your hand, say, "Preacher, I'm not sure about my soul. Please remember me when you pray." Anybody, you can just slip it up and right back down. We just want to pray for you this morning. Anybody, right quick. How about this, "Preacher, I know I'm saved. Ain't no doubt in my mind. But I'm afraid I've reached a place in my life where I've lost hope. I've given up on God. I'm just about to give up on the things of God. I'm just about ready to throw in the towel. Preacher, I need some hope this morning. Pray God would strengthen me and encourage me. Pray I'd get the hope of prayer back and I'd come tell Jesus exactly what I need in my life. Preacher, pray God give me some hope this morning." How about it? Come on, be honest. God bless your hearts. God bless your hearts. Let's pray together, Father, as we come to you this morning in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you, God, for yet another opportunity to meet together with your people in your house. God, you've seen every hand that was raised. You know every heart. Father, I pray that, God, you'd deal with each one, Lord, as to meet their needs. Father, don't let one leave here today lost without you. God, please have your way in this invitation. We'll thank you and we'll give you glory. And Lord, we thank you for the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name.